Hello, this is Kyle Jones with the Fullness of Meaning Christian Ministries, where we do exegete the Bible from the Hebrew and Greek, and we do turn to extant sources in order that we might return back to the Bible to see the nesting of the worldview given to us through the meaning of Christ and what he means to the world outside of just the Hebrew and Greek culture. Well, today we are discussing the nature of evil, or should I say the subject of the nature of evil. I did cover a few years back a lecture on this that I called The Field of Fatalism, where I believe that ultimately the illusory belief created by man as we look to the objective reality that we did this or we did that, or we can acquire this without the subjective nature that it is God who ordains all things for us and allots all things for us, as we can see in the book of James chapter 4. As James says, it is a great evil that a man would go and say, today or tomorrow I shall go into such and such a city and get gain and live there for a while and then leave there and get more stuff and to go here and there and to acquire this. All such statements are bragging and are evil, as James said. Now, that is a paraphrase, but that's the modern-day vernacular, or however you want to put it, that James would have probably said to us had he been living this time. Nonetheless, I'd like to cover briefly the nature of evil from the standpoint of if you will, an anthropological study or view of what evil means. And I acquired some pretty interesting texts over the years, and I actually received a book the other day in the mail. I was doing some study on witchcraft, of course. I'm a Christian theologian. That's exactly what we need to understand. By a lady named Margaret Alice Murray, who wrote a book called The Witch Cult in Western Europe, A Study in Anthropology. Now, this book is pretty much just a collection of statements by the history of witches, what they have said, their covens, their cults, what they believe, acquired scripts or whatever, or parchments, written by participating witches back in the Middle Ages. Anyway, this book was put together at Oxford University at the Clareton Press Company in 1921. Once again, the book is called The Witch Cult in Western Europe. One of the fascinating things that I found out concerning witches is their view of the devil as what they believe he is. And I'm going to make a little quote here. I hope this is public domain, but nonetheless. It says right here, the devil as God, chapter 2, I believe. It is impossible to understand the witch cult without first understanding the position of the chief personage of that cult. He was known to the contemporary Christian judges and the recorders as the devil, and was called by them Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the foul fiend, the enemy of salvation, and similar names appropriate to the principle of evil, the devil of the scriptures, with whom they identified him. Well, anyway, this was stated by the witches, that this was far from the view of the witches themselves. To a witch, this so-called devil was God and was manifest and incarnate. They did adore him on their knees. They addressed their prayers to him. They offered thanks to him as the giver of food and the necessities of life. They dedicated their children to him, and there are indications that, like many other gods, he was sacrificed for the good of his people. The contemporary writers state in so many words that the witches believed in the divinity of their master. Danaeus, writing in 1575, states, "The devil commandeth them that they shall acknowledge him for their God and call upon him, to pray upon him and trust in him. They do all repeat to the other which they have given unto him, and acknowledging him to be their God. And another statement, Gaul in 1646, who was nearly a century later, says that the witches vow to take him, that is the devil, for their God, to worship, to invoke, and to obey him. That goes on and on. They were writing in Old English, so I was having to try to move that to modern. So one of the things that catches me right here is that that they did not have necessarily a reactionary view of the devil, if you will, that was in the Bible, but simply they worshiped the devil. Now, which brings a host of other ideas as to the study of the devil, not as the devil, because the word devil, diabola, means that which makes you stumble. Something diabolic. Satanus does mean the stumbler, one who causes someone to stumble. But if I can go back into kind of a interesting study of the American Indians, the predecessors to the American Indians, all the way back to the Vedas. Now, there have been a few great scholars that have discussed the origin of even Homer's Iliad and Odyssey being from the Baltic regions. We do have Gandhar Tilak, an Indian scholar who wrote over 100 years ago about the origins of the Rig Veda, which is the predecessor to Hinduism. And within this text, there is a group of people called the Angira. The Angira, by Professor Tilak, were the men, possibly women, but men in bird suits, as they were called the Watchers. One could say the Raven, the Rovers, the ones who watched over. The word Angira, having done a lengthy study on the word angels, and coming short, when I stick with just the Greek, I do find that the Angira of the Vedas to come closer to an older origin or origination point for the word angel. Now, I do think immediately of the sons of God presenting themselves before the sun god or the god in the book of Job, and this Satan coming out of this group of people, out of these sons of the morning star. We do see that Lucifer was adorned, arrayed as the finest of all of the sons of God, and put on the Mount Sahand of Aden as the highest cherub or korubai. Well, the word korubai, the sharif, if you will, the korubai or the karif or the karaf, it was the guardian of the Garden of Eden. And we do find that Melek Taus of the Kurdish group of people, mentioned by Reverend Wiggum, who was a minister about 100 years ago, who did a study in Kurdistan, did make high mention of a group of people called the Yazidis who did worship Melek Taus, which was the great peacock or the feathered one. And immediately, which returns me back to the study of the American Indians, those of the highest nobility were the ones of the most flowering plumage or feathers. So we do have a lock on the feathered culture. We do go back further with Dr. Maria Gimbutas, and we find that the entire Baltic region was dedicated to the goddess and the temples that were kept by the goddess worshippers and the goddesses who did wear bird suits. So there is a tie-in between the bird goddess, the bird culture, and also the snake culture. We will discuss later in the Meander and Chevron series, a book that I've been working on concerning the pictotypes of the early cultures that we do believe were fulfilled in the Garden of Eden with snake, woman, man, offspring, Cain. Anyway, we do have a DNA lock between the Kennewick man, who we do find in the southern Baltic region of Denmark, being the closest in association, genetically speaking, to the American Indians. And once again, we do say that the Vedas, the early scriptures pre-Hindu, and also my theory that the people of southern Georgia or northern Iran or the Aden or Eden region did migrate to Finland and to the Baltic regions. So there very well could be a fix of a high culture speaking a very highly intelligent language, which was locked in the Baltic regions. So there is a fix on the Baltic regions that do bring us into a very developed sense of semiotics, symbols concerning the expression of mankind within the early Americans, the early American Indians, Denmark, Finland, all the way back to the Kartvelian culture, which we do find going east of Eden, would be the Cainite or the Cainite clans, which we do believe are Cain, who did live in Bad Tabira, or the House of the Metal Worker, who by Robert Graves' statement said that they were marked on their forehead with a type of cross, pre-Christian, to symbolize that they were a house of smithies or metal workers, which would have been in agreement with the Genesis account of the house of Tubal-Cain and all of his kind that did work with artifacts or the artificers of brass that made instruments and weapons of war. Well, for today, I'd like to wrap it up, but there's some prehistory that we'll go to, a little bit deeper history with the even the Bell Witch caves and the early American Indians there. I do believe there's something to be said about a group of people that came from an age of innocence with a type of power, maybe just intellectually, I don't know, that were given by God, imbued by God in his tselem or his image, a type of innocent culture, if you will, a type of nature culture. Anyway, for today, I will end it. This is Kyle Jones. I hope you enjoy this message and the images that I do present in watercolor form for each of these daily devotionals. Thank you very much.